Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
You better stretch out and put on some athletic gear for this one, because we are going to go through football's history headlines and jog your memory through football of yesteryear on today's episode. We're going to see the Giants' first game ever, Deion Sanders playing two sports in one day, and George Preston Marshall, Earl Dutch Clark, and Steve Young are among our legends who have birthdays on this October 11th. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the PigskinDispatch.com, and this is the podcast where we go through football's history headlines, and we're going to talk about October 11th's football day today, and we'll start right off because we have a lot of information to cover. We'll start off in 1925 on October 11th. That's when the New York Giants played their very first NFL game on the road at Providence, Rhode Island. According to SportsEncyclopedia.com, Tim Mara, a successful businessman and promoter, purchased the franchise for a reported $500. In the first few seasons of the AFPA/NFL teams were mainly from small towns. League officials believed that a team in a large market such as New York was exactly what was needed to keep the fledgling NFL alive. An SI.com story states that a team known as the New York Brickley Giants played two games in the AFPA in 1921, but quickly folded. Mara's Giants, however, though, came to be in 1925 and lost their first game to the Providence Steamrollers 14-0. In fact, the team lost their first three starts, only to win seven straight next and finish with an 8-4 record. Now we zoom almost 70 years into the future. We go to October 11th, 1992, and Deion Sanders plays in two major professional sports games on the same day. Per BleacherReport.com article, Primetime suited up for the Atlanta Falcons and played a game at Joe Robey Stadium in Miami against the Dolphins, and then jumped on a plane and flew to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to take the field with the Atlanta Braves baseball team and play in a game against the Pirates in a Major League Baseball National League Championship Series game. That's quite a trip and quite a day to have. Now we'll get right into those legendary birthdays of Hall of Famers, and we'll start off on October 11th, 1896. That's when George Preston Marshall was born. He acquired the Boston Braves NFL franchise in 1932, along with two partners per his bio on ProFootballHallOfFame.com's website. The team lost $46,000 in revenue that first season, and his two partners bailed on the team, leaving Marshall as their sole owner. George was a larger-than-life showman, though, who lived and thrived on attention. He named the team after the Boston Braves baseball team that played there, but after very little support, he knew he had to change things up a bit. Prior to the 1933 season, the nickname was changed to the Redskins to give his team their own identity. The team had limited success in Boston and didn't get much support either from the community. The lack of support by both the fans and the media really came to a head when Marshall noticed that the local field hockey team was getting more press coverage than his beloved Redskins. This infuriated Marshall, so the change of surroundings seemed to be in order, and a move to the nation's capital changed the course of the franchise as they were crowned the NFL champions in their inaugural year as the Washington Redskins. The Pro Football Hall of Fame inducted George Marshall into their hall in 1963. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, to not only see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskin Dispatch is in the social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Pigskin Dispatch is also happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com. Another one of our Hall of Famers that has a birthday on October 11th was born in 1905, and that was Joel Hunt, a former Texas A&M halfback that played from 1925 season through the 1927 season. Joel was an All-Southwest Conference all 3 years he was in college. The National Football Foundation states that Joel scored 30 touchdowns in 27 games played in college, and that his team at A&M had a record of 20 wins, 4 losses, and 3 ties while he was with the team. After graduation, Joel went into coaching, serving many schools in one form of coaching or another, and then went into the professional coaching ranks with the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Colts. The College Football Hall of Fame inducted Joel Hunt into their museum in 1967. Then, October 11th, 1906, Earl Dutch Clark was born. He was a former Colorado College quarterback. According to National Football Foundation's website, Clark had some interesting football stories in both his college and pro career after he grew up in Colorado State. The first was that he had committed to play for the University of Michigan, and while on his way from Colorado, the four sports high school star was kidnapped by some folks at Northwestern University. He disappointed his Wildcat suitors, though, and he returned back home due to being homesick to Colorado, and he played for his local Colorado college team. As a pro, his team, the Portsmouth Spartans, had an identical record with the Chicago Bears, so the first postseason game in NFL history was scheduled to decide a champion, and it had some huge twists and turns to make it quite a remarkable story. The Spartan star? Dutch Clark. And he was unable to play in the championship game because he had to work. Dutch worked as a head basketball coach at Colorado College, where he attended, and his hoops team had a game on that day on December 18th in 1932, and Dutch couldn't get off work to make the first NFL championship football game. The National Football Foundation selected him to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1951, and the Pro Football Hall of Fame had Dutch Clark enter into their presence in 1963. Next, we move to October 11th, 1947, and Bobby Anderson, a former Colorado halfback and quarterback, was born. He was not the typical dropback passer, as he led his team 2 straight years in both rushing and passing. As a senior, after injuries to teammates, Bobby was moved to the halfback position and became an All-American at the position. The College Football Hall of Fame enshrined Bobby Anderson into their hall in year 2006. Then we go to October 11th, 1961. Steve Young was born. He was a former Brigham Young quarterback. Steve was a very good quarterback for BYU too, as he set the school and NCAA records en route to being the runner-up for the 1903 Heisman Trophy and was a consensus All-American player that year. The College Football Hall of Fame placed him into their museum in 2001. Young was drafted by the LA Express of the USFL Football League and in the first round of the 1984 draft. After the fledgling league folded, Steve joined the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a first-round pick of a special draft for displaced USFL players. In 1987, the Bucs traded Young to the San Francisco 49ers, and he didn't play much for the Niners for his first 4 seasons, as they had a guy by the name of Montana that had a pretty good career himself. In 1991, he got his break when Joe Montana suffered an injury, and Young ended up with his first of 6 league passing titles. ProFootballHOF.com tells us how Steve Young had an incredible performance in San Francisco's 49-26 win over the San Diego Chargers in Super Bowl 29. Young passed for 325 yards and threw a Super Bowl record 6 touchdowns in the game. He was also the game's leading rusher with 49 yards on 5 carries. For his efforts, he was named the Super Bowl's most valuable player. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Steve Young into their museum in the year 2005. Next, we travel that timeline to October 11th, 1965, and that was the birth of Chris Spielman. Spielman was a former Ohio State linebacker. He was a 1987 Lombardi Award winner, according to the footballfoundation.org website. Spielman was a consensus All-American for the Buckeyes in 1986 and a unanimous All-American selection in 1987. Chris graduated as Ohio State's all-time leader in solo tackles with 283, and he had a total of 546 tackles, 8 sacks, and 11 interceptions in his career. In 1988, after graduation, Spielman was drafted by the Detroit Lions as their second-round pick. Spielman played with the Lions franchise for 8 seasons and became the first Lion ever to register 1,000 career tackles. He spent 2 later seasons with the Buffalo Bills and was named to the Pro Bowl 6 times in his career. The National Football Foundation selected Chris Spielman into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2009. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away 2 copies of my latest book called Bears vs. Cardinals, the NFL's Oldest Rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sturneman collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you will enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you, and good luck!